Announcing the meeting, the government delicately described the Tibetan monk as a spiritual leader rather than a political one. But that description wasn't enough to stop the Chinese embassy in Ottawa from describing the meeting as a drastic departure from Canada's policy towards Tibet and raising fears of economic reprisals from the Asian superpower. To talk about Martin's delicate dance with the Dalai Lama, we're joined by Charles Burton. He's a professor of political science specializing in China at Brock University, and he also worked for several years as a counselor in economic and political affairs for the Canadian embassy in Beijing, and he's on the line from St. Catharines, Ontario. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So tell us a bit about what all of this might mean for Canada's relationship with China.
Well, I don't think it means a great deal. I don't expect the Chinese to engage in economic sanctions against us. They might consider some retaliatory measures to express their displeasure. For example, they could limit our access to the Tibetan Autonomous Region, where we have some development projects going for poverty alleviation and improving the productivity of their agricultural lands. And I'm hoping they don't do that. I think that China's an important and confident nation in the world these days, and a meeting between Paul Martin and the Dalai Lama shouldn't really be a big issue for them.
And yet they are making waves. Why would they do that still?
Well, they are very concerned about threats to their territorial sovereignty. And if a political leader meets the Dalai Lama, it gives the impression of adding legitimacy to the claims that the Dalai Lama is the legitimate political leader of Tibet. And so they would prefer that he meet with spiritual leaders, not political leaders. And I think that's one of the reasons why Mr. Martin says that, according to his office, he'll be discussing spiritual matters with the Dalai and not political ones, presumably. They have a concern that if they're soft on Tibet, this could encourage independentist elements in other parts of China. You know, they have the Taiwan situation where there are people there who'd like to form an independent republic, and they have the Inner Mongolian Autonomous Region of China, where there are a number of Mongolians that would like to unite Inner Mongolia with Outer Mongolia, which is an independent sovereign state. And then in the northwest, they have the Uyghur Autonomous Region, Xinjiang, where a number of the Uyghurs there would like to form an independent state of Greater Turkestan. So in terms of movements for separation from China, Tibet's not the only one that China has to worry about. So I think they think if they show flexibility on one, the others might start to flare up.
So you think they might be looking at what happened in the former Soviet Union as it started to break apart and diminish power?
Yes, I think that certainly that's not something that China wants to see. They want to maintain a strong and united country, and I think ethnic Chinese regard Tibet as part of China, just like we say, my Canada includes Quebec, they'd say our China includes Tibet. So there's a desire that China should maintain its territorial integrity as a big and strong nation.
And what do you make of these meetings that the Dalai Lama has been having with Paul Martin on the go? He's already met with Tony Blair, George Bush. Is this signaling a change in the world view toward Tibet?
I don't think it signals a substantive change, but I think it has a strong symbolic value. When our Prime Minister meets with the Dalai Lama, I think it's expressing the strongly held views of many Canadians that we should stand up and show our concern for the oppressed people in Tibet, the Tibetans. And so by meeting with the Dalai Lama, it indicates the Chinese government that we are concerned and that we're paying attention to the situation, and that Canadians feel that the Dalai Lama is someone who deserves respect from our Prime Minister, and so they meet.
And for his part, the Dalai Lama has changed his rhetoric regarding Tibet's relationship with China a little bit. What's happening there?
Well, you are seeing a shift in the sense that he's not calling for an independent Tibet, a separate nation with a seat in the UN and a different flag and everything. But what he wants is the Chinese to realize the constitutionally guaranteed autonomy for Tibet. And so he'd like Tibetans to genuinely be managing affairs in Tibet, but it could be within China as a whole, where the Chinese government in Beijing would still maintain responsibility for things like defense and foreign affairs. So, but the Chinese are having no part of this, and they simply think that the Dalai Lama's suggestion that Tibet could be autonomous within China is simply a ploy used by the Tibetans to strengthen their hand so that they can eventually separate Tibet from Chinese sovereignty.
Well, how likely is it that this maneuvering now could result in more rights for the people of Tibet rather than independence, for example?
Well, I don't think that that there's going to be a big change in the relationship between the political authorities in Beijing and the people living in Tibet. That being said, that China is becoming more respectful of rights and autonomy, and life has improved in Tibet, and there's greater freedom of expression and freedom of movement, and there's more prosperity. And so I think on the whole, things are improving for Tibetans. I think a big concern of Tibetans is the cultural issue of many Chinese moving into Tibet to make money because there are many economic opportunities there, and the idea that the Chinese are not allowing the Tibetans to get enough people educated in their own tradition and culture. And so they limit the number of Tibetans that enter into monastic orders, and they limit the number of Tibetans that are studying Tibetan language and culture. So the transmission of the culture to future generations is seriously under threat, and as the current generation passes on, there aren't younger people that can come up and take their place. So this is a very worrying development.
All right. Well, Professor Burton, I thank you very much for your time here this afternoon.
It's good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Charles Burton. He's a professor in political science at Brock University. He worked as a counselor in political and economic affairs for the Canadian Embassy in Beijing for several years. We're about 2.5 minutes away.